The barman raised an eyebrow interrogatively. "Whiskey and a beer," said Josh. "Rye, bourbon, or scotch?"
Scotch, thank you.
Josh cursed himself for adding the pleasantry. Americans he knew never said please or thank you. He took the drinks, threw coins onto the counter, and looked for somewhere to sit. A small bench behind a table was vacant, and he sat at it, took a sip of the whiskey, followed by a draught of the beer. Starting a fire and putting it out, his father had called it. Then he opened his newspaper. England seemed to be in a state of turmoil, with the Nailers of the Black Country rioting, the army putting down demonstrations against turnpike tolls in Carmarthen, and riots against the corn laws in Lancashire, and, good Lord, the government has introduced income tax for the first time in peacetime. 7 pence on the pound for incomes over £150. Ah, well, at least that wouldn't affect him. That was far beyond what he could earn as second mate in a merchant ship. He turned the page, squinting in the poor light to scan the small print. No sign, as far as he could see, of further cholera outbreaks. Thank God. He hoped that Mary had continued to escape the dreaded scourge, escaped it so that he could hurry home now and they could be wed.
"You're a limey, ain't you?"
He looked up. The man standing, swaying slightly on the other side of the table, was huge, looking almost as wide as he was tall. Dressed in rough, well-worn sailing clothes, his face carrying a 6-day beard, was scowling. Josh sighed.
"Well," he said, "I'm English, if that's what you mean. Same thing. Bastards, all of you. Burnt down the White House, you did.
Oh, come on, that was 30 years ago.
Well, we Yanks don't forget them things."
He put huge hands down on the table and leant forward. Josh could have put a match to the whiskey fumes.
"I'll tell you something else."
Josh knew better than to argue. He didn't want to stoke the fire. He looked around. The bar, previously a hubbub of raised voices, had gone strangely quiet. Every face was now turned to him, most of them grinning. The barman, himself the size of a stevedore in the new steamships, was leaning across his counter, a half smile on his face. Josh gulped. He was about to receive a public beating. He decided to make one more conciliatory effort.
"Look," he said, "I don't see why you picked on me. I'm English, yes, but I'm a sailor, just like you."
"Are you?"
The big man straightened up.
"What's your ship then, sonny?"
"The barkentine, Jenny Lee. She foundered on the Washerwoman Reef 3 days ago. We were lucky to be rescued."
"Oh no, you weren't, you lying bastard. We all know what happened there. Your ship was accompanied all the way from the Bahamas by a wrecking ship from there, and was standing by when your skipper deliberately ran his ship onto the reef to get his share of the insurance money. Is all rescued nice and neat together with your cargo. Was well planned."
A chorus of approval rose from the crowd.
"What's more?"
The big man leant across the table and prodded a huge finger into Josh's chest.
"That little arrangement, matey, stopped us wreckers here in Key West from doing an honest piece of salvaging. If there's one thing we can't stand, it's English bastards from the Bahamas taking our work from us."
The howl of agreement was even louder now.
"Look," said Josh, "my skipper and his first mate are being investigated by a tribunal as we speak. If there's been wrongdoing, it'll come out in a court of law and they'll be punished. My aunt's the president of the USA. You're going to be punished here and now."
He seized Josh's shirt and pulled him towards him, raising his fist as he did so. Josh Wayland, however, had not sailed the seven seas without fighting his way out of more than one barroom brawl. And he acted instinctively now. Instead of pulling away from the big man's embrace, he leant towards him, drew back his head, and crashed his forehead into his assailant's nose. Then he pushed the table hard towards the sailor and crashed the edge down onto his toes. Blood gushed from the nose, and the man howled as the table crashed down. Josh skipped aside, ducked under a wild swing, and then delivered 2 punches from left and right fists into the man's ample paunch. Josh knew enough about fighting not to let an advantage slip away.